News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Now, it's day two of the results of News Talk's Red Sea Women in Ireland survey. Yesterday, you'll remember, we focused on perceptions of gender equality in Ireland, stereotyping and so on, and I suppose the role society expects from men and women in regards to things like childcare and DIY. Some fascinating results in that. Some fascinating results in our second batch of results today. Aideen Finnegan joins us to give us more. What have we got today, Aideen?
So today, Shane, we're looking at experiences of gender-based discrimination and the reporting of rape and sexual assaults. Just a bit about the survey first. So the News Talk Red Sea Women in Ireland research was a poll of over 1,000 adults in Ireland earlier this month. 51% were women, 49% were men. Why? Because that's representative of the population according to the 2016 census. So people from across the 26 counties were asked for their opinions. 42% ABC1s and 52% C2DEs. Those are basically just marketing terms used to classify people from different sections.
This is
society.
A cross section of our society.
So everyone's been asked, from employers to housewives to professionals to semi-skilled workers, retirees, the unemployed. So the really interesting things coming out of this are around reporting sexual assaults. Men are more likely to say they'd report a rape if it happened to somebody else compared to women, but we'll come back to that in a moment. Let's look at the figures around people's perceptions of gender-based discrimination. So 8 in every 10 people of those polls said they hadn't personally experienced gender-based discrimination, and by that we mean any unjust or prejudicial treatment. But of those who answered yes, twice as many women had experienced it than men, and that number jumped again for the women in the 18 to 44 age bracket. So what's really interesting about that is that younger people are far more likely to say they've been on the receiving end of prejudice based on their gender. 37% for 18 to 24 year olds, but it tapers off, and by the time you've come to the over 55s, only 12% there reporting gender-based discrimination. So that says a lot about the generations and who feels discrimination more, and
our perception of what discrimination is,
awareness, you know, being able to spot it.
Now there's two ways of looking at that. One would be that young people are just not going to tolerate the kind of stuff,
snowflakes, the lot of them.
Yeah, well, that they're not going to put up with it.
Yes.
One is the snowflake view. The other is that they're just not going to put up with the stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've grown up with the Me Too movement, and you know, there's just generally a more egalitarian society.
They're not going to brush off things that would have been seen as unpleasant, but the norm in
precisely.
The past.
Precisely. Actually, we'll come back to that. So a quarter of those who said they'd been discriminated against were in Dublin. Full-time students and the unemployed were more likely to say they'd been on the receiving end.
Okay, now I see from the results as well, a really interesting one. 8 in 10 people would report a rape if it happened to them. Only half would go to the Gardaí if it happened to someone else.
Yes, now let's just to clarify as well, this is hypothetical. People were asked if you were raped,
sorry,
if somebody else was raped.
So to
clear that up. Because overall, 91% of the population would report rape. But of those, only 48% would report it if they knew it had happened to somebody else. So I suppose, you know, we do hear from the Rape Crisis Centre saying that rapes go underreported, that they're obviously dealing with a lot more service users than there are people going to court. So this is interesting that 91% of people say, oh yes, if it happened, I would report it to the Gardaí. 2/3 would report groping or touching without consent to the Gardaí. 3/4 of respondents say they'd report sexual harassment in the workplace to the guards.
Okay, let's drill down into detail some of this. Men are marginally, it is only a slight difference, or slightly more likely to report rape than women, according to this survey.
If it had happened to them, yes.
Yeah.
So 84% of men would report being raped compared to 83% of women. But the gap widens considerably in the case of somebody else being attacked. Almost 3 in 5 men would go to the Gardaí compared to 2 in 5 of women. So I suppose we don't know the respondents, who they're thinking of when they think of that third person. You know, is it a spouse, a friend, or what have you? So, but men were much more likely to say, yes, if it happened to somebody else, even though it hadn't happened to me, I would go to the guards about it. Interestingly, people aged 35 and over would be more likely to report it than 18 to 34 year olds. And nearly 9 out of every 10 people in the ABC1 category would make a complaint, compared to 8 in 10 of those in the C2DE bracket.
Okay. What in relation to reporting groping or touching without consent, what are the figures there?
So only 1 in 5 would report groping or touching without consent. The answers for the sexual assault are a bit different to the questions about reporting rape. the figures fell slightly. So three quarters would report indecent exposure, and the same amount, 75%, would report sexual harassment in the workplace. Over two thirds of respondents would report groping or touching without consent, but only 35% would go to the Gardaí in the case of it happening to someone else. So one in five respondents would not report groping or touching. I thought that would be higher myself.
Yeah, it is. It is surprising. Some really interesting results there. You're going to be back with us tomorrow to talk a little bit more about that latter
yes,
point.
Yes. So speaking of roping, I was on Harcourt Street in the early hours of Sunday morning at the weekend. I wanted to ask women about their experiences when they're out and about in bars and clubs and how common it is and would they report it. So I'll be back with you tomorrow to tell
okay.
you.
Okay. And is it? I mean, I know we'll
spoiler alert. Yeah, it's very common.
I mean, it is still. It is very common.
Yeah.
Really?
It is common. And I have to say that I think it's maybe a little venue specific as well. In terms of some bars and clubs, it's more likely to happen than others.
Where there's a lot of drink taken. And
yes.
I'm genuinely staggered that it is still a massive issue for women. Maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe that's naive on my part. But anyway, look, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Aideen, thanks indeed for coming into us on that. Aideen Finnegan, News Talk reporter there.
Now, as you've been hearing throughout the morning, an exclusive News Talk survey finds that the younger generation feel more discriminated against due to gender. The survey, which, as we said, was conducted by Red Sea for the station, shows remarkably that if you ask 18 to 24-year-olds, have they experienced discrimination due to their gender, almost 4 in 10 say they have in their life. Ask the same question of 55 plus year olds, only a little over 1 in 10 say they have experienced discrimination in their life. Joining us to discuss these findings in studio is Sheena Cal, President of the Union of Students in Ireland, and journalist Larissa Nolan is on the line. You're both very welcome. Sheena, I might just come to you first. What's your reflection on these statistics and I suppose that difference between the response of younger people to those aged over 55?
Sure. I mean, I suppose, first of all, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I wish that it wasn't the way it was. I wish that, you know, when we asked 1,000 people, you know, what their reflections of what their experiences were, I wish that it wasn't that younger people, you know, were identifying in an increasing way gender discrimination. But as I said, I'm not surprised because, quite frankly, you know, the group, the cohort between 18 to 24 have now gone through effectively two kind of very key referendums based on rights and access to rights and about legal discrimination. I think that that has certainly, you know, influenced a whole generation of young people around the tools, indeed educated them around the language of discrimination so that they understand more, I suppose, more now than maybe perhaps previous generations did, you know, what the impact of gender discrimination is and being able to call it out.
Larissa, what about that point that this is about, I suppose, younger people are just more keenly aware of what is discrimination compared to previous generations?
Well, I think it's very interesting that if you look at the older age group who actually in reality are far more likely to have experienced discrimination, you know, that they're the ones saying that they haven't. And then when you look at the younger group, which have never had it so good, better educated, overall more money, better opportunities, you know, they've experienced better equality and they're living in a world where if they don't experience equality, they have facilities to remedy that, you know, like Equality Employment Act and all these kind of things. It's funny. And also they're the group as well that are in the 0% gender pay gap. Below 30, the gender pay gap is 0%. Sorry, guys, excuse me. I have a terrible sore throat. I'm trying to shake off. So sorry about the wobbly voice. But yeah, so they're in this group where actually they've never had it so good. I mean, we know this. This isn't my opinion. Yes, this high number is saying that they've experienced discrimination. I'd love to know. First of all, I'm amazed in the current world we live in, and the constant narrative of disadvantage that we're being fed. Females are disenfranchised. You know, being discriminated against. You know, there's entrenched sexism everywhere you look. I'm amazed it's not 100%, because that's the message that is relentless. We're getting it every day in the media.
So is it your take that this isn't a kind of that younger people are now, I suppose, more cognizant of the reality? Yours is just that actually this is a problem of perception?
I do. I think that a massive issue is identifying, obviously, if something is a problem is important, is vital. Over-identifying is harmful to you. I think there's two parts here. First of all, I'd love to know how exactly they felt they were discriminated against. We don't know that part of the piece. I'd love to know how they were, because there are avenues everywhere to address anything like this nowadays. But there's two things. There's the indoctrination part, which is happening at the moment. I think it's really, really damaging for young people. I think it's actually really irresponsible of us as a society to do this constantly. I mean, one of the things you hear about girls and women going into workplaces, and people say, oh, but they're not encouraged. I mean, I hear this all the time.
Yeah.
We're encouraged to stay quiet. We're told that we can't do this, we can't do that. No, what's telling you can't do it at the moment is society, which seems to be intent on suppressing potential rather than mining. One other piece of this, the two parts.
Very briefly.
One is the indoctrination part. The other part is, it used to be enough to say that you're a feminist, which I am, and that believes in equality between the sexes. But now the dogma states that you must believe that you're oppressed, and you must pitch yourself against men, and you must believe in grievance feminism and victimhood, and that is very bad for the person.
All right, to go back to Sheena there, you believe you're oppressed,
absolutely
Sheena?
Not. I mean, I don't at all accept this idea, you know, that we're being socially conditioned into believing that we're in some way oppressed. I don't accept that at all. And I think, you know, the reality is, I mean, it's not just the experience, you know, based on this survey. I mean, it's in the stats, it's in, you know, across a representation at high levels in education, it's in politics, it's in employment.
Yes.
It's at board levels.
We're hearing it everywhere,
Yes, absolutely. And the reality is that we're not being told we're snowflakes, and we're not being socially conditioned into believing that.
It is, in fact, a
reality. I think what we need to talk about now, I mean, this idea is somehow that the young generation, or like 18 to 24 or over, you know, are somehow in some kind of perfect utopia. And we're actually, you know, the locked out generation in terms of generation rent, in terms of access to resources. There isn't the resources when people are coming out saying, when we're talking about the Me Too movement, when we're talking about the problems of sexual harassment in society, which is significantly gender based, the resources aren't there that we need, that are necessary in terms of employment. There's a significant increase in zero contract hours for that generation. We're paying €3,000 in college fees, etc. And so you can't look at things like what came out yesterday, like the DRCC annual report 2017, and in some way walk away saying that there's no issue in society.
But they have nothing to do with gender, though. Those issues about being locked out, do they? Sorry, Larissa, just for a moment.
Particularly,
the question was not that. The question was not about sexual violence in Ireland. The question was about, do you feel that you've been discriminated against? You know, I'm actually really interested in how you would think that you would, like, how have you ever been discriminated against because of your gender?
I think the reality is, as I began in the beginning, which is that when we look at the last two referendums, which were about both repeal, which is about reproductive access to justice, and also in relation to marriage equality, which is about access to a civil marriage, we have a whole generation of people who now have the tools and who have the language to identify discrimination. Whereas, you know, you're absolutely right in one sense, is that, you know, people who are over 55, you know, there was a civil marriage bar, you know, on the civil service, etc. But I think in terms of the experience, in terms of being able to talk about those issues, I think young people are coming out now. And, you know, I welcome the figures in one way, because now people are saying, we're going to mobilise on this. We don't accept the status quo on this, and we want change.
Larissa, a very brief final point to you.
I just say, on both those referendums, they were vehemently repealed. You know, they were turned over. There was no indication that there was no appetite to change these. We can see that these were older things that the public wanted to change, and they did change them. So you're actually supported in that regard. But what I'd really be interested in, I'd love to sit down to talk to these people and ask them, how exactly do you think that you've been discriminated against? And I'd really like to find out the details of how they were, and to find out whether are you perceiving that you were discriminated against, or were you actually discriminated against? I think those two things.
Sheena, are you in that 37% who does feel you've been discriminated against?
I do, yeah. And like, I mean, I think even if you look at like our gender equality in our higher education institutions, and like, I'm, you know, a representative of students myself, there hasn't been a female president of a university in like over 427 years or something. Like,
that's not you being discriminated against. Yeah.
Well, when you're looking at the gender bias all across even the university sector in terms of employment statistics, even though there's a higher percentage of women who tend to graduate with degrees, they're not progressing up the levels. And even in like my experience, I have found that, you know, there is a gender bias in both employment practices and in the political sphere. And I think that is impacting people. I think what we're doing now is calling it out and saying we're not going to accept it.